And if I said I really knew you well, what would your answer be? If you were here today, knowing you, you'd probably laugh and say that we were worlds apart. If you were here today, ooh, here today. But as for me...
Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Dave and Chris. And we were just listening to a song by Paul McCartney from 1982's Tug of War called Here Today. And our topic for the day is actually going to be a fun one, or we hope it's a fun one. It's the famed Agree to Disagree episode. And that song is where it all began for us. So, I don't know. What do you think, Chris?
Well, how this kind of began... we were at the Paul McCartney concert. I think we might have talked about it before then, but we were at the Paul McCartney concert. And Paul starts playing Here Today, and I'm like, oh, bathroom break, and took off and to use the restroom. And then we talked about it later, and you're like, well, I really like Here Today. I don't know. What the hell's wrong with you? So we thought, oh, that'd be a fun episode to do where we debate both sides of this. There's a couple that we a couple places where we completely disagree on some things. Always friendly.
Yes, of course.
Never. We haven't gotten into a shouting match about any of this stuff before.
No.
Because after all, it's just like opinions. But
it is. And if you've listened to our other podcasts, you've noticed that we're usually in agreement on most things. So that's why these are particularly interesting and fun to talk about. And so for our show today, we picked six topics or six issues or songs or things that we want to agree to disagree on and debate. And we'll go down one by one. We have a little McCartney. We have the Beatles as a group. We have a little solo producer stuff and other surprises. So what do you say? Let's launch in. We'll continue with Here Today. And I'll give you the reasons why I think it's a good song and it shouldn't be a bathroom break kind of song. I want you to tell me why.
Well, what's so great about it? What's so great about it?
All right. Well, Here Today was written, as I said, in 1982, it was a tribute to John Lennon. Before that, George Harrison had written a tribute all those years ago. Here Today was Paul's song, and it's a very beautiful song that has a lot of meaning, especially because George Martin produced that album, and George Martin, of course, knew John Lennon, was involved in the making of that song. It's very much like Yesterday, where you have Paul playing acoustic guitar, and you have a string ensemble behind him. And to me, it's a very touching tribute to John. The lyrics talk about kind of these inside jokes with one. Now you're smiling at me here.
I'm trying to be respectful.
I know. A lot of inside jokes with each other. I think it's a nice sentiment. And to me, the proof that it's been a powerful song is that whenever Paul sings it, he does get a little emotional. And there was one video you can watch on YouTube where he is performing it at Amoeba Records in Hollywood, which, by the way, is a great place. I've spent a lot of money there. But he performs the song, and he's very teary because thinking about the emotions of that particular song. So I think as a tribute song, it works well. And musically, it's interesting to me. So I give it a high mark, but I think you disagree with me.
I disagree. To me, it's always been... I understand the sentiment behind it, but the song is not that good. The song is a cheap knockoff of Yesterday, more than something. Two of the greatest partners of all time that you get one of the greatest songs of all time. Mm. But I would not even rank it in the top 100 of Paul songs.
Wow.
One. Two, all those years ago, and When We Were Fab, both better songs. Empty Garden, Hey Hey Johnny from Elton John, far superior song. Very, you know, there's a lot of John Lennon tribute songs which you could compare this song to that are very, very much better. So to me, it just kind of, you know, on multiple fronts just doesn't quite measure up. And why, you know, I think I expected a better song out of like, oh, this is, dude, you know what you're about to hear? You're about to hear Paul finally write a song about John Lennon. Mm-hmm. And then here it is. It's kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
A little bit of strings and sadness, you know. So that's why I think anytime I hear it, it's time to use the facilities.
Well, let me ask you this then.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. The thinking of tribute songs, what is it about All Those Years Ago or the Elton John tune, or I guess When We Was Fab is kind of a tribute to the group themselves, but there's some John stuff in it. What is it about those songs that makes them more effective as a tribute than Here Today? What to you, what is it? Because to me, this particular song seems very heartfelt because it's just him, and it sort of feels like he's singing it by himself and then added some strings in the background to add. So it seems like a very personal song. Whereas All Those Years Ago is, you know, it has the remaining Beatles on it, but it's kind of like a rock tune. It's a different feel.
Yeah, I guess to me it's like, particularly in the case of the Elton John one, actually all three of those, they're just good songs. They sound great. They're, particularly the Elton John one, like, leaves me with kind of like a sense of like, you know, the empty guard. I've been knocking and no one answers.
Mm-hmm.
A sense of loss, you know, in more of a lyrically interesting way to me than like, ooh, Here Today. So that's, I mean, I'm not completely bashing Here Today. It's not a bad song. I just, you know, when I compare it to other songs like that and when I compare it to Yesterday, it's not a Yesterday.
Okay.
You know, it's not on that level. So,
well,
so there's that.
There you go. There's our first agree to disagree. So I will keep listening to Here Today, and Chris will still be hitting the men's room when it comes on. So.
So, okay. Right. So our second topic is the album Love, the Beatles album, which was created for the Cirque du Soleil show in Las Vegas, Beatles-themed Cirque du Soleil show, which I'm sure is spectacular. I have not seen. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. Friends of mine have seen it, but I've never done it.
Yeah, so neither of us have seen the show, but anyone can get the album, right? And I very much enjoy the album. I think it's interesting. They went and they got all of the George Martin's son, Giles.
Yep,
is that
Giles.
His name? Mm-hmm. Martin had access to the entire Beatles catalog, all of the original recordings, and put together sort of like an interesting mix.
Would you call it a mashup of some sort, or
almost like a mashup, but a mashup from,
but only Beatles stuff,
only Beatles recordings. So, right. So it's actually mixing the Beatles with the Beatles.
Yeah.
So in that way, it's really interesting, and a couple of the tracks on the album just sound like newer, sort of fancier and high quality sounding versions of Say Hey Jude or something. But there are a couple on there that where the experiments are unbelievably fantastic, including, I'll play this one, which is my actually preferred now version of Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite. And we'll listen to the part near the end where it goes into a different song. And so let's take a listen to that.
And Mr. H will demonstrate 10 somersets he'll undertake on solid ground. Bing bing, some days in preparation, a splendid time is guaranteed for all. And tonight, Mr. Kite is topping the bill.
So that that went into I Want You, She's So Heavy, and some of the screaming in the background is from Helter Skelter. So there's a lot of these songs on there where they do these tricks, but it's so well done. It's so, like, interesting. And I got a copy of this that was in 5.1, mm-hmm. and if you put it on the, you know, you got all the speakers around you. It's so, like, cool to listen to the album together. There are a lot of parts of the album that seem a little more like transition bits. I definitely like it. I thought it was fantastic when it came out. And I was very excited. I was like, oh, I'll talk to Dave about this. And then I was, like, kind of surprised that you were kind of like, eh.
Yeah. Well, all right, you made some good points there. I think I've listened to the album once in its entirety, and then whenever it comes on shuffle play on my iPod, I usually skip the song. And I don't know, to me, it's like a movie it's like a soundtrack without the movie. I have a feeling that if you were to see it in context and actually have the album going on, or have the music going when you are watching the dancers and the production, it would really enhance what's going on. But for me, without all that, it just seems like clever. You use the word tricks. There's a lot of clever tricks and things on there. And I will say it is clever, the fact that all the sounds on that entire album, Love, are Beatles, from Beatles songs. So there's nothing outside at all. So it's very clever and very musical in a way, because Giles Martin was able to, and whoever else, found songs that link together well, and keys and tempo and all that, all the musical characteristics. But it just, I don't know, it leaves me kind of like, okay, this is interesting, but I still want to listen to the old versions. I still like the regular song. Again, I think you and I need to plan a trip out to Vegas, so we should go see that.
Oh, that sounds like a great
Wouldn't
idea.
That be great? Yeah. Then I think we could put this agree to disagree battle to rest for good.
Yeah.
But
I definitely, I could see what you're saying if you're like, oh, I really prefer to hear the original versions. But I think a lot of these versions are, even the ones that are more just the normal song with a couple little things in it, are interesting enough that I never skip them. And there's one particular song, While My Guitar Gently Weeps, where they've taken the earlier take track of the George Harrison's sort of demo of it, which everybody's probably heard that one off the anthology. But George Martin actually wrote new string music to go with it. So particularly that song, I'm like, it's worth it. Whenever that one comes up, I'm like, oh, wow, it's like a, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the newest of the Beatles songs that there are.
Yeah. You know? I'm not saying that I wouldn't listen to all of it. I think there's some good stuff on there. And it sounds really good. I remember when it came out, a lot of Beatles fans were saying, why don't we have the real recordings that sound like this, you know, sound this good. Like, do you remember when Yellow Submarine song track came out in 1999, I think, and how good those songs sounded? Well, this was not that long after that, and it was the same situation. So then eventually they did remaster everything and clean it up in 2009, but I just remember it sounded really good, and Strawberry Fields, everything sounded really alive. So for that reason, it's interesting and good to hear. But to me, it's not an album I'm going to play very often. In fact, as I said, I've only played it once. So,
well, and also for the diehard Beatles nerds, which I guess if you're listening to a Beatles podcast, you might be one of those. It's definitely like fun to like listen, particularly like something like a Glass Onion has a whole bunch of little like snippets of other.
That's true. Yeah.
Like hello, hello. And so yeah, that's true. You're like, ooh, that's from this. Ooh, what's that from? You know, try to figure out what
that is fun.
The things are. So, but yeah, I like it. Love is a. We'll just say I won that one. No, I'm kidding.
Wait a minute.
No. I'm kidding. Okay. So, so what's up next?
This is a McCartney song that was actually a hit, and it's called Uncle Albert Admiral Halsey from his 1971 album Ram, which I generally like the album Ram, but for some reason this song, again, has always left me, it just seems like too cutesy and just taking the worst excesses of McCartney and putting them together. You take fragments of songs, put them together, make a big orchestral arrangement, make it very musically snappy, and then have like totally ridiculous lyrics that go with it and go nowhere. And a lot of little sound effects. And
let's hear some of it.
You want to hear it? All right, let's hear a little of Uncle Albert Admiral Halsey.
We're so sorry, Uncle Albert. We're so sorry if we caused you any pain. We're so sorry, Uncle Albert. But there's no one left at home, and I believe I'm gonna rain.
Those storm effects. Those are really clever.
I'm still laughing about you going root-a-doot.
So, I don't know. That one really is a skipper for me.
So you don't like the lyrics?
I don't like the lyrics. I don't really like the way it was put together. It's jarring, because then it suddenly picks up tempo, and with the Admiral Halsey, not to fight me, and then it's like too much going on for 4 minutes to me. But
wow.
I have a feeling you have a different perspective on this song. It's just, it's too clever for its own good to me.
I like it. I think it is clever. Do the lyrics make much sense? No. But it's more like an lyrically atmospheric tune. It's a song, it's a tonescape or something like that, you know? It's like a song where it's trying to build an atmosphere. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like a nautical kind of like sadness. Sort of a longing, you know, that kind of thing. So I feel like it, and it musically is so interesting. I like it a lot. I like the little butter would melt, so I put it up high.
Yeah. Do you like Linda's contributions to it too?
I like Linda's contributions to it. I think sometimes it's like, well, why does a song lyrics have to make sense?
Yeah.
For it to be, you know, like just sing some words sometimes.
That's a question you have to ask a lot when you listen to McCartney solo music, especially.
Yeah. Do you want depth of meaning, or do you want words and music that give you a feeling?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think this one successfully gives me a feeling of kind of like, you know, I like it. I like it. I get where you're coming from, though. It is kind of all over the place and
about a minute too long as well. But
and I think is it overrated? Pride, I think probably, you know.
Yeah.
I think I'd have to say probably. But the other thing I like about it is it's so, like, quintessential from the period of McCartney. It's so, like, Linda and, you know, that
early
kind of
70s, Ram, that whole period.
Yeah. It sounds like his music only really sounded like that for a few years, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Before then, that was pre-Wings, right before Wings, so.
Yeah. So I like it.
Well, I will continue to skip it when it comes on, but
I respect your thoughts. I like the topic of it coming up, though, just to hear a nice rant about it.
You gotta rant a little bit here. So there's our third degree to disagree. The fourth one, I'm going to let you tee this one up, and this is, now of course, I mean, everyone realizes these are just our opinions, but I think we bring something to this with our backgrounds and the fact that we've listened to this music for so long, that it makes the next one particularly a hot topic, because we're talking about, what's the worst Beatles album?
Yeah, worst Beatles album. You say it's Let It Be.
Yes.
Crazy. That's nuts. How Let It Be in any world could be considered worse than Beatles for Sale, which is almost a complete dud, is beyond me. Beatles for Sale. Okay. We'll just talk about Beatles for Sale here for a second. No Reply, I'm a Loser, good songs. Babies in Black, so-so. And then Rock and Roll Music, whatever. I mean, it's a little bit of a hit. I'll Follow the Sun, good song. Mr. Moonlight, no thanks. No, I'm not buying. Kansas City, which we only like because, you know, you've lived in Kansas City for a while. 8 Days a Week, big hit song. But any better or worse than any of their other hit songs from, like, Can't Buy Me Love? No. You know, it's sort of like, all right. But here's where it clinches it. Here's the next, you know what's coming.
I do.
Words of Love, Honey Don't, Every Little Thing, I Don't Want to Spoil the Party, What You're Doing. 5 duds.
No.
A 5 dud... 5 dud in a row, like no other place on any Beatles album are you like, I have to skip the whole second side of the album.
No.
I have to, maybe I'll pick up Everybody's Trying to Be My Baby at the end, if I feel like it. Usually by then I'm like, let me move on to some other part of my life. So Beatles for Sale. I mean, I'm sure we'll get more into the mechanics of this album when we do a Beatles for Sale
dissection,
which I'm really looking forward to.
I can see.
But I don't know how you can say, like, that there's even, you know, there's no comparison to me. Like, Beatles for Sale, worse.
Well, I'm going to disagree with that. I don't spin Beatles for Sale that often, but I think there are a lot of good songs on it. There are some duds, that's true. But It was also taken in the context of how it was recorded. It was recorded very quickly. They needed to get something out. It was in between tours. So maybe it wasn't their most inspired work, but they were in a period of great productivity. contrast that with Let It Be, which was supposed to be, which I guess was a good idea in concept, to go back to their roots and record an album like the early days, like Beatles for Sale, or something rocking and not a lot of studio work on it. But it just was miserable from the beginning, and the end result went through so many different versions and sounds that it's just, to me, it doesn't hold together very well. It's a lot of, like, uninspired playing, uninspired songs, rehashing of songs that were old, already recorded. So if we go down the list here, Two of Us, it's kind of slight song by McCartney.
Great song. I don't know what you're thinking.
It's a little slight.
Fantastic.
Dig a Pony has a nice riff, but it's again just sort of goes nowhere. It was kind of recorded on the roof, so maybe it's sort of cool for that, but nonsense. No lyrical. You know, I Roll a Stony.
I pick a moon dog.
I pick a moon dog. It doesn't do it.
I think it kind of rocks. It rocks. The guitar solo is great.
The guitar solo is good. That's true. I'll give it that. That's followed up by Across the Universe, which sounds really dead. The other version sounds better. And this one, this is where you first really hear the Phil Spector, because Phil Spector was brought in to produce this. And you hear brass and women's chorus, and it just kills the song. And it just, you know, again, that was a rehash. John couldn't come up with anything new, so that was an old song. I Me Mine also has brass and overdubs on it that kill it. It was a short song that was doubled. Phil Spector just made the song longer. It was only a minute or something. He just doubled it, so it's the same thing. Dig It is a throwaway, 59 seconds. Let It Be, obviously a great song. Maggie May.
Oh, yeah, Let It Be. Obviously a classic song. Obviously one of the greatest songs of all time.
It is one of the greatest
songs.
No, that's right. I agree with you there. I agree. Maggie May, another throwaway fragment. I've Got a Feeling, great song from the rooftop. Chris and I have always loved that one. Yeah. One After 909, another retread from early 60s before they became famous. Better version, but again, nothing new. Long and Winding Road, I prefer the other version without all the brass and the women's sappy strings. and then For You Blue, just kind of George's throwaway 12-bar blues that we just laugh at because he says, Elmore James got nothing on this, baby. And then it ends with Get Back from the Rooftop. Again, a retread or a song that was already a single. So it's just kind of listless to me and nothing new and kind of uninspired. So I vote that one worst Beatles album. Despite a few good songs.
Yeah.
I guess you don't like my analysis here.
You know, let's play, just to play something here, let's play a little, how about I Me Mine? Just a little I Me Mine. I agree with you on many of your points. I don't like the Phil Spector production of it. I think it ruins Long and Winding Road.
Yeah.
I don't like the throwaway elements of it. But I think it, first of all, Let It Be.
But Let It Be was also a single.
Yeah, but Let It Be, and this version of Let It Be, I prefer.
Yeah, we agree.
Because of the kick-ass solo.
Yeah.
And Let It Be is better by far than anything on the previously aforementioned album. The other songs, Two of Us, Dig a Pony, the ones that you mentioned there, like, I don't really love the songs, the lyrics, that they are so good at this point at playing.
Yeah.
They're all of the solos are killer, like, very good, particularly compared to where they were stuck on Beatles for Sale. In this thing where it's like, okay, we're going to do a solo. Yeah! And then like a clunky little solo, you know, on many of those tracks, you know? So, Get Back is a good, you know, that's a good song. And like, I get what you're saying. I wish that they had never hired Phil Spector. And I think that taints this album maybe permanently. And I can see where you're like, and maybe it taints it too much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And definitely that the project of Let It Be was uninspired. But the end results are a lot of songs I like to listen to. I've Got a Feeling's one of the most underrated Beatles songs.
Yeah.
You know? So I can't put it any lower than the supreme duds of the Beatles for Sale. So, yeah, so we disagree, but well, we kind of agree. Both of them are, they're definitely 1-2, probably, in the, you know.
Yeah,
we're not going to count Yellow Submarine.
Let us know, by the way, what your vote, if you're interested in commenting here, what's your vote for Worst Beatles Album? And, you know, we just want to say, we're not trying to say that, like, the Worst Beatles Album is light years beyond most any other group's best albums.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're saying when a group is that good, you can afford to be critical. It's not like we're trying to say that, you know, knock them down a peg here. We're just saying it was, you know, just healthy banter about these topics. So,
yeah.
Well, I think the next one we've alluded to this before slightly. If you listen to our Fifth Beatle episode, I think we brought this up. So I'm going to tee it off to you here to introduce our top fifth topic.
Well, Jeff Lynne, the creator of the very brilliant 70s band, which I think is underrated, ELO, Electric Light Orchestra. Many of the his music with that band I like. I think he has a wonderful voice as a singer. I think he's a good musician. But as a producer, I find him to be very, very, like, bad. Like, overproduces everything. And he makes all drum sounds sound like they're frigging, you know, some plastic kind of... You know, he ruins drum sounds for me. So, Jeff was involved with the Beatles a few times. First off, he became good friends with George Harrison, and was a member of the Traveling Wilburys with George Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
He produced George's album Cloud Nine. And then he was hired to be the guy to dig up the John Lennon tapes and put them with the new recording of the Beatles for the two songs that were on the anthology. I think he did a terrible job with all of the things.
Wow.
Probably the best of those were sort of the maybe Real Love. Turns out okay, but how do you feel?
Well, I'm not, unlike, we kind of see it opposite ways here, because I'm not a fan of ELO. I'm not a, I don't really like prog rock of 70s art rock. It's a little pretentious and just overdone for me. But I think Jeff Lynne was very important in the Beatles story, and he gave the Beatles, all of them, some success, which they really needed. Now, it was very much a product of the time. And so his 80s, like you said, Cloud Nine was really the first big production, the Wilburys, and that was in the late 80s. And so it was part of that production. It sort of sounded like that at the time. But I think he was a very important figure, and he did bring out, well, he brought the Beatles together, in a sense, on those songs, which was good. And he was really a big mover and shaker for George, especially, who needed someone to get him back in the studio and get him back recording, and someone he could feel comfortable with. And that lasted all the way from Cloud Nine until he died, because Jeff Lynne and Danny Harrison finished up Brainwash, George's last album. So I think he's important in terms of his productions. I guess I like the Traveling Wilburys stuff best, and Cloud Nine, that period. I do like that album, and it's a little overdone, but I think he was important, and I like what he did. I did not like what he did with McCartney, though. What was it, on Flaming Pie, there were some songs that he produced on there, and they stick out in a negative way to me. But in terms of George's career especially, I think he was really good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I agree sort of with the idea of, like, oh, he helped George out a little bit. But if George worked with a different producer, would it have been Cloud Nine have been a better album? Maybe. I think so. I just feel like Jeff Lynne as a producer has this sound that he likes.
Yeah.
Which is, and it started with the later work of ELO, which the 80s work of ELO was very, like, you know, plastic drums is the big thing that really always sticks out to me, and it just never changed after that. You know? So, but I you know, the McCartney thing, I didn't even think of that. Yeah, that's another good example. But I think, like, Free as a Bird could have been, like, really great.
Yeah.
And it was cool in some ways, like to have George play a slide solo and that kind of thing. And I'm sure it's difficult to do what he was doing, but I just feel like why did we need the and he makes Ringo's drums just sound so boring and dull. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm a little disappointed in him generally.
So who would you have wanted for Free as a Bird and Real Love? Maybe Daniel Lanois? Or, because think someone
Rick Rubin?
Rick Rubin? Someone in that period, the 90s, early 90s, who was a big producer? I was thinking of Daniel Lanois with U2 and people like that. Who else could have really done that, I guess? Who could have, because the three of them wouldn't have produced it themselves very well. They would have had too many ego problems and gone off. So I think Jeff Lynne was a good middleman who knew them and sort of knew their style.
I suppose. I don't know. I don't know.
Wow. Well, that's a true agree to disagree then.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It makes me want to go listen to Cloud Nine right now. Or the Wilburys.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I'm going to re-dig into those.
Yeah, we'll try again here. So. Oh, well, Jeff Lynne. Number 5 on our list.
Okay, and then number 6 on our list. I think we're going to say it just as the general album of Driving Rain, which came out right around the time of, in 2001, right? It was recorded sort of before September 11th and came out right after. And unfortunately, they tacked the song Freedom onto it.
We should say this is a McCartney solo album.
Yeah, I apologize. Paul McCartney's solo album, Driving Rain. We were even just in a very recent episode making fun of parts of this. And there are things on this album to make fun of. Mm-hmm. But I liked it when it came out, and I still like it. And I there's a lot of stuff on here, particularly musically, that sounds really good to me. I like the song From a Lover to a Friend a lot. I think, yawner? You yawning?
I'm yawning.
Ah, come on. I like it. I liked She's Giving Up Talking, even with these ridiculous things.
Dickie Bird.
Now, lyrically, it's a silly album, but it's fun. It's fun to talk about and fun to make fun of those sillinesses, you know? And I like all of this. I think all of the songs sound pretty good. Even Heather, which we were just making fun of in a previous episode, sounds really good until the, you know, singing comes in with the silly lyrics. I really like the 10-minute ending track, which I know you don't like at all. Rids to Raindrops. I think now should 5 minutes just be extracted from it, yes. But the first like 3-4 minutes of it, I felt like, when I first started out, I was like, wow, this is Paul, like, actually rocking again, you know? So I think, like, the work that he had in sort of the 90s, and particularly, like, Hope of Deliverance and that kind of stuff, being so lame that and so ill-sounding and ill-produced, that this album, to me, is kind of like, oh, it's a little bit of a, like, this is pretty, you know, this is pretty good stuff. So I think I like this album way better than you do, for sure.
Yeah, it's another one of those albums where Paul tried to get, try to shake it up a little bit here. So he got the production services of David Kane, I think is how you pronounce it, K-A-H-N-E, who is a younger producer, and all these new musicians who actually a couple of them are now in his, have been in his band ever since. But they were new backing musicians, people he didn't really know and hadn't worked with, to try to shake it up and make him, you know, write new tunes out of his comfort zone. But I guess I just think of it, it's hard for me to get rid of Freedom being on this album here. And I know it was tacked on after 9/11, but it just is kind of, it brings back that period to me of 9/11, and also for him, Heather Mills period. And I don't think that was a very good period for him. So maybe my perspective is tainted a little bit because of those issues. There are a couple good songs on it, though. I will give credit. I always liked Lonely Road, which is the first one. That he kind of rocks on that one. I also liked what's the other one? Oh, the title song, Driving Rain, is a pretty, again, nonsense lyrics. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Let's go for a drive.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Let's go there and back again. Woo. So not much lyrically there, but a pretty catchy tune. And I think you hit the point here, which is so common with McCartney albums, is they're always so good musically. The playing is always so good, even if you're always left wanting a little bit. Like, it's just, like, a little too slick or a little too polished on the music, but it's missing something. And that's how I feel about this album. Just missing something, whereas, like, Flaming Pie, which came right before it, I think, or very close to it, really had that combination of a mix of really some songs with good lyrics. There were some duds on there, too. We'll dissect that album someday, but it just had a different feel to it. Maybe Linda was part of it, but I don't know. I won't bash Driving Rain that much, but it's not in my top 10 for sure.
Let's play one quick track from it here. Your Way. Let's play a little Your Way from Driving Rain.
Thank you.
there. You gave me love. You gave me what I wanted. You gave me love your way. I've seen it shining from the feather stars, like Venus soaring on her way to Mars. You gave me love. You gave me what I wanted. You gave me love your way.
So I think that's an example of a song. It's a really good song. It's a kind of a short song. And, you know, I think there's a couple of those. I Do, I think, is another good song. Some,
is that about Heather?
Probably.
Yeah.
But, there, I mean, you still got your spitting on an axis. You still got your writing to Jaipur's. But... And generally, I like the album. I think it's an underrated album. No one bought it. No audience member listening right now probably has.
I think they were turned off by the awful cover, which we've discussed before. The cover is really terrible.
Nobody can argue that the cover is just awful. Right. And I will say this: it's called Driving Rain, and they mention rain like 4 or 5 times. Rinse the Raindrops, Driving Rain, a couple other times. It's like
a little redundant.
We get it, buddy. But I like it, and I think it was very quickly kind of produced, kind of in the same sort of style as Run Devil Run, which was right before this. I think it was Run. So I liked it. I thought it was good, and then, you know, maybe it's faded for me a little bit, but
yeah. Well, freedom. We're talking about freedom.
I hate it.
Not so much.
We agree to agree.
We agree on that. We'll end it with that.
So, let's, I guess let's go out. Before we go out, let's say, you know, if you're listening, even if you're not listening on iTunes, go to the iTunes store and give us comments, hopefully positive comments. We've got some people who don't like us silly, but that's fine too.
We're just happy you're listening.
Yeah. If you're on Podbean, that's where the main podcast is, and you can comment on each of the episodes, give us feedback on what do you think is the worst Beatles album. You know, like, make a case. Maybe we're both wrong.
Or is Here Today your favorite song?
Is Here Today your favorite song?
Yeah.
Can you prove beyond the shadow of doubt that he's wrong about Uncle Albert? You know?
Lots of opportunities to jump in here.
We're also on Facebook. I've got a Beatles podcast. Just search for that. And I am on Twitter, Chris D. Bragg. Follow me on Twitter, at Chris D. Bragg. Follow me on Twitter. I post a song in the night every day. It's not all Beatles. There's some Beatles mixed in. In March, it's going to be... I'm doing an all David Bowie month of songs. So if you like David Bowie, that would particularly please you.
Chris is a mad David Bowie fan, except for the one song that has a Beatles connection to it.
Yeah, Fame. We both... another agree to agree. We both dislike Fame immensely. Yeah. So let's take it out.
Let's
come out on the best with a little Rinse the Raindrops. We'll talk to you next time here on I've Got a Beatles podcast.